Begin this morning with a picture. So if we can put the picture on the screen. Does anybody know who that is? Raise your hand if you know who this is a picture of. Raise your hand. Everybody, now put your hand down. Raise your hand if you don't have a clue who that guy is. And all the other people are like, where have you been living, under a rock? I mean, come. I guess so, you know. But just to let you know, that guy's name is, everybody help them out.
Vince Lombardi.
There is a story that I love about Vince Lombardi. And that is when he was coaching the Packers and they would go into a little skid, maybe one or two losses, things weren't going well. The story is that Vince Lombardi, either at halftime or sometime through the week, he would pick up a football. Does anybody know this story?
No.
He'd pick up a football in front of all of his players and he'd say, "Men, this is a football. Men, this is a football." And what he's saying is he's saying, guys, things aren't going real well right now. What we need to do is we need to do what? We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the fundamentals. By the way, I'm sure it wasn't a Team Scoopy football. How many Culver fans out there? All these bring back memories of kids' meals. Oh, those days are long gone. But it was, men, this is a football, reminding them that, hey, if we're going to get back to our winning ways, we got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to just the fundamentals of football, correct blocking, all the things that are the basics, okay? So one day I was here, I heard of a guy that knew Vince Lombardi's son, Vince Lombardi Jr. And the guy went up to Vince Lombardi Jr. and said, "Is that true that your dad would really, really do that? He would hold up a football and say, 'Men, this is a football.'" And he said, "Yeah, it's a true story, because when I was a kid," Vince Lombardi was saying, "when I was a kid, I had the opportunity to be in the locker room or out on the field." And he said, "I remember very clearly one day that my dad got up and said, 'Men, this is a football.'" And he said, "From the back of the room, there was a linebacker that said, 'Slow down, coach, slow down.'" I wonder how that went. Slow down, coach, slow down. So that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to slow down and focus on what many, many people believe to be the basics, the fundamentals of Christianity. So I'm so glad that you're here today, because I think we're on a new plane for where we're heading as a church. So what I want to do today is I want to look at two passages. So get your notes ready. There's two passages that we're going to look at, and these two passages are going to help us to get back to the basics, back to the basics. That's what this sermon is today, is, hey, folks, back to the basics. This is the Bible. This is God's Word. Back to the basics. And the two passages we're going to look at, one from the Old Testament, we're going to look at a passage from the New Testament. So I want to encourage you to take notes with me this morning, follow along. The first passage I want to look at this morning is found in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And we're going to go to chapter 20. And in the first 17 verses of Exodus 20, we find what is called the Ten Commandments, God's top 10, the Ten Commandments, okay? And I want to take a quick look at the Ten Commandments, because there's a point that I want to make. But you may be reminded of something you need to hear on this journey. Number one, top Ten Commandments, it says, top commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Meaning, hey, put God first. Put God first. I think that's a word that we need to hear today. Put God first. Put God first. Commandment number two, you shall not make idols. Meaning, worship God only. Commandment number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The interpretation in the kids' Bible is this: use God's name with respect. I don't know about you, but when I hear the name of the Lord used in vain, does that make you cringe? It makes you cringe, because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't even be here today. He gives us life. He gives us breath. He gives us salvation. Don't use the name of the Creator God in vain, okay? Number four, remember the Sabbath day. I know there's people that say, is that Saturday or is that Sunday? I don't think that's the primary point of the argument. The primary point of the argument is, remember a Sabbath day to keep it holy, meaning May there be a day in your life that's special for God. May there be a day in your life where you break away from the busyness of life and you just give yourself totally to God and you get refreshed getting away from everything going on in your life. So what I want to do is I want to stop there real quick, and you can fill in the blanks here. I want to point out something here, and that is the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments, they focus on our relationship with God. So the first four commandments focus on our relationship with God. So the first four commandments are all about vertical. It's about our vertical relationship with the God who created us, who made us, who we sang about this morning, who is madly in love with us. So I want you to remember that. First four, vertical relationship with God. Let's continue the journey. Commandment number five, honor your father and mother. And all the parents said, by the way, I hope all the kids also say, amen. Respect your parents. By the way, that's the one commandment that comes with a promise. Did you know that? So that you will live longer days, or I'm not sure the exact wording, but it's so that things will go well, you'll live longer on earth. But it's all about honoring your parents. Number six, you shall not murder. Interpretation, don't kill people. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery, meaning be faithful in marriage. Be faithful in marriage. Number eight, you shall not steal. The interpretation is do not steal. Okay? If it's not yours, don't take it. Don't steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That means don't tell a lie. I don't care if it's a white lie. I don't care if it's a black lie. Don't tell a lie. A lie is what? Everybody say a sin. And it's wrong. Number 10, you shall not covet, meaning don't go crazy about other people's things, okay? So what I want to point out here, and this is your fill in the blank, the first four commandments deal with our relationship vertically with God. The final six commandments deal with our relationships with other people, So it's very simply broken down. So it's about vertical, and it's all about horizontal. It's about my relationship with my Creator, four things that I need to be working on, and then it's about my relationship with people, What I want to do here real quick is I just want to share two observations before we go to our second passage of Scripture for the morning, and that is that you need to understand that when God gave us the Ten Commandments, it wasn't to crush us down. Is everybody listening to me? When God gave us the Ten Commandments, it wasn't so that we could that we would live this life that would be, oh, God doesn't want us to have any fun. Oh, no, God doesn't understand. But God gave us the Ten Commandments for this purpose, for our well-being. God created us. He made us. He knows how our life will work the best. Do you trust that God is good? Do you trust that if you follow His commandments, that's how your life will work out the best? So I want to let everybody know it's to your best interest. It's to my best interest that I'm following the commandments, that I have a healthy relationship with God, and that I have a healthy relationship with other people. That's my first observation. Second observation about the Ten Commandments is simply this. When you boil life down to its finest form, I want you to hear this. Life is really all about relationships. You said, well, I thought it was about this, that, or the other. I thought it was about those who die with the most toys win, those who have all this, all that. But here's at the end of the day, the Ten Commandments show us that life is about relationships. It's about a relationship vertically with God. Do you have peace with God this morning? By the way, the only way you have peace with God is through Jesus Christ, His Son. And then the second thing, it's about relationships with other people. It's about my relationships with my family. It's about the relationships with people God places in my life. And sometimes it's even about the relationships with people I don't even know, but they're in my life and I have contact with them. So really a successful life is a life that knows how to figure out this relationship piece. A successful life is a life that knows how to figure out how to have healthy relationship with God, how to have healthy relationships with people. Because I want to let you know, you can have all the things that the world says you should have, but if you don't have the God thing right, and you don't have the relationship with people thing right, I don't care what else you have. Life's just not seem, it's not going to work the way God intended it for to work. Are you hearing me this morning? So I want us to be a people. I want us to be a church. Let's be a group of people that say, I want to be committed in relationship. I want to be committed to relationships even more than I'm committed to my job, even more than I'm committed to my hobby, even more than I'm committed to anything else. I want to be committed saying, God, relationship with you, relationship with people. That's what it's all about. So let's move on. So turn your Bible to the New Testament. Because some of you are like, well, that's Old Testament. Well, I'm going to give you some New Testament. Here we go. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, because here's what's happening this morning. We're doing what? We're going back to the basics. We're going back to the fundamentals. Don't forget that. Here we go, Matthew 22. This is what we commonly refer to, Scripture commonly refers to as the Great Commandment. Has anybody ever heard that terminology before? Great Commandment. This is the Great Commandment. And I'm going to read it to you from the Bible. You can follow along on the screen. It says in verse 20 or 34, but when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced, the Sadducees with his reply, because all they're doing is they're questioning Jesus. I want to let you know the religious people of Jesus' day didn't like him. The religious people in Jesus' day, they didn't like him. You know who liked Jesus? Sinners. But when it came to the religious people of Jesus' day, they didn't like him because he kind of threw off all the... they just didn't agree with him, okay? So what they would do is they would gather and they would try to throw questions at him. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to make him look bad in front of all the people. They're trying to just make him look silly, okay, in front of the people. So they're asking questions. And it says, the Sadducees with the reply, then they met together to question him again. And it says, one of them, who was an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. They said, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Teacher, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Let's stop right there. I think when you read that and you hear them asking what's the most important commandment, automatically your mind goes back to what? Somebody can take a chance. You might be right. You automatically go back to what we read in what? Exodus, the Ten Commandments. But here's what I want you to hear, and that is, there was a big gap between the Ten Commandments given to Charlton Heston on Mount Sinai. I'm sorry, Moses on Mount Sinai, and where Jesus is actually speaking to the people. There's a big gap. There's thousands of years. A couple thousands of years. I don't know the exact, but there's a big gap of time, okay? So God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and then what happened throughout all those years leading up to this question, what happened is all the Jewish rabbis took those Ten Commandments and they began to break them down. And then by the end of the day, they came up with 613 different commandments. Isn't it amazing what people will do to God's word? They made 613 commandments. And then when these guys, what they would do for a living is they would have these holy circle of conversation. And they would begin to debate the greater from the lesser. What is the most important of the 613? What's number 613? What's the least important? Okay? So that was kind of what was happening in their life. I mean, they didn't have much of a life, okay? So how does Jesus respond? He responds by quoting a verse of Scripture. I always find it amazing that Jesus is so well versed in the Scripture because he is the I Am. Okay? And what he does is he quotes a scripture found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4 through 5. And it would be called the Shema. This was called the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 through 4 through 5. And if you were a devout Jew in that day, every day of your life, you would quote the Shema. And that's what we're going to read. That was Jesus' response to their question. Okay? So let's pick it up. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So these devout Jews, they would say that Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. So if you were a good Jewish person, you would quote that twice a day. And I don't think that's all bad. I think that's really healthy to quote the word of God. Amen? So let's read that together. Let's read that part. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. You guys, that was awesome. And Jesus goes on to say, this is the first and this is the greatest commandment. So that was their question. What's the first and greatest commandment? But Jesus doesn't stop there. It says a second is equally important. Can you say those two words? Equally important. So they're equally important. They go together. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Wow. How many people struggle with that? Just a few. You guys are awesome. Wow. I have a big time problem with that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then listen how he concludes his thought process. The entire law and all the demands of the prophet are based on these two commandments. Do you realize what Jesus did here? He took 613 commandments and he boiled it down to what? The basics. It's like he stood before the people and said, folks, this is a football. But he didn't say that. He said, folks, this is what's most important. This is the basics. There's a whole bunch of teaching out there. There's 613 commandments, but at the end of the day, that's the basics. That is that we are to love God vertically, just like we saw in the Ten Commandments, commandment 1 through 4. And we're to love God horizontally, commandments what? 5 through 10. Horizontal. What I want to do today is I want to look at the first part of that commandment. Then we're going to be on a journey for a while. I'm not sure how long it's going to talk or take. But I'm glad you're here today at the beginning of the journey. Because I've been the pastor here 15 years. A lot of things happen in 15 years. A lot of people come and go. I think if all the people that have been here at least a month or two, or we'd need about 7 buildings to fit everybody in. It's amazing how much traffic there's been. There's a lot of things that have happened. There's been a lot of good things happen. There's been not many bad things, but there's been a lot of good things happen. But I think what we need is a Vince Lombardi talk today. And we need to talk where we say, guys, and we don't only need this as a church. I need this as an individual. I would dare to say that there's a lot of individuals who are in the same boat as me. Church, Christianity, whatever tag you want to put to it, there's been a lot of side attractions. There's been a lot of things that we say we need to do, we've been told to do. But at the end of the day, folks, this is a football. This is the great commandment. And that is, if we get anything right, we need to make sure we're getting right. Do we love God? And am I getting right? Do I love God? Do I love people? So in your head right now, you're thinking, and this is what I want you to do as you're thinking this morning, is I want you to do an evaluation. I want you to do a quick assessment of your life. And in your assessment, just ask yourself quietly. Nobody knows your thoughts. Thank God, right? That would be a great gift to read people's mind, wouldn't it? Some of you would probably be going, let's go home and shut up. Let's go, okay? I want to say that's not very loving, okay? But anyway, I want you to do a quick assessment in your own life right now and just ask yourself these two questions. How am I doing with loving God? And how am I doing with loving my neighbor, people? How am I doing? And today what I want to focus on is I want to focus on verse 37 again. We're going to look at the first part of this, and we could take months to figure this one out. It says, you must love the Lord your God with, everybody say it together, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Do you see the word he uses 3 times? Did you pick it up? All. All. 3 areas of importance. We're going to read through this real quickly. I'm going to read right off your notes because I don't want to get chasing rabbits here. There's 3 areas of importance. He says, with all your heart. What does this mean? You can read it with me. This means that he is the source. He is the object of our greatest desires and passions. He's the core of my affections, that my affections must be centered on him. So take that home this week and just ask yourself, am I loving God with all my heart? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things in my life that are contending for my desires, that are contending for my passions, and it's almost a constant tug of war. I love this, I love this, I love that. And God's saying, Mike, if you're going to get this vertical thing right, it really starts with you loving me with all your heart. Number two, he says, with all your soul. What does that mean? This has to do with your deepest longings, your emotions, your convictions. And we're told that these things must focus on Christ and bring honor and glory to Jesus. Ask yourself this week, your soul, that's the real you, the soul. Is it well with your soul? Then he says, with all your mind. What does this mean? This means, this shows that serving God is not just a matter of feelings, or it's not just a matter of emotions. It's a deliberate act of your will. It means serving God with your intellect. God's not asking us to be mindless dummies, okay? It's seeking to please him with our thoughts. God, I want to please you with my thoughts. I don't want to have those thoughts that are mean and ugly or maybe even lustful. God, I want to have thoughts that are pleasing to you. I'm pleasing you with even my ideas. I want to please you with my decision making. That's what it's called about loving God with all your mind. Very important, okay? So the bottom line is, and let's see where we're at in our notes here. The bottom line is this. When it comes down to it at the beginning, at the end of the day, the bottom line is that God wants us to love us, or God wants us to love him with what? All. Everybody say that together. All. God is a God that's not into leftovers. God is a God that just doesn't want part of who we are. He doesn't want us to hold anything back. But God wants us to love him with all that we are. Everything. Everything. Let me ask you a question, and you can choose to respond or not respond. How many people, that seems overwhelming? I would say that seems overwhelming. There's times, actually, this week I thought to myself, Lord, is that even possible? Is that even possible? Because I know myself well enough, and I really don't even know myself. I'm even deceived in my own heart, Jeremiah says. God, can I really love you? Because I think there's a lot of people that are in the same boat I am. They really want to. You're here today because you have a desire that you really do want to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You do want that. And I just think there's a lot of people, you guys are wonderful. And you want that. You say, God, I desire that. But to be honest with you, I struggle with some of the issues of my heart. I struggle with some of the issues of my soul. I struggle with some of the issues of my mind. God, can I really pull this off? And is it possible? And I want to say, yes, I think it is possible. But I also want to say this. It's a process. Is everybody with me? It's a process. So how can we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? I have three points I want to make here, and we're going to be done real quick. How can this possibly be? First of all, we're only going to pull this off with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. Too many of you are like me. We are a lot alike. We know what God wants us to do. We know how God wants us to live. So what do? Is we kill ourselves by saying, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. And then by Sunday afternoon, by 11 a.m., is anybody like me? You mess up. And we try to live this Christian life in our own power. But I want to let you know something, and I think a lot of you need to hear this for the first time. You were never intended to live the Christian life in your own power. You were never intended to live the Christian life in your own power. That's why when Jesus was just about ready to leave earth, he had his final meeting with his disciples. And he said, hey, when I leave, I'm going to give you another one just like me. Does anybody know his name? Come on, what's his name? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a ghost. It's not mystical. How many people know the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And what happens is when you give your life to Jesus and you say, yes, Jesus, I repent of my sins. And I turn from living my way and I turn to living for you. I want to follow you. At the moment we come to Christ, I believe that we receive the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit living in us. And I want to let you know it's a process. The word actually says we got to be, Ephesians says we need to be filled with the Spirit daily. I mean, because it leaks out. I mean, come on, let's go. I mean, just a lot of things happen in life. And we got to continually, daily be filled with the Spirit. And the purpose of the Spirit is to give us power so that we can live successful Christian lives. And too many people have given up on the faith because they didn't have what it takes to live the Christian life. Hello, we were never intended. We can't do it alone. We need a greater help. We need God living inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do is we need to embrace and we need to submit and we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit so that we can live a victorious life. So this is what my life looks like this week. My life this week looks like, okay, God, I want to be a person that's got it vertically right. I want to love you with all my heart, mind, and soul and strength. But Lord, I tell you what, I can't do it alone. So my life this week has simply been speaking directly to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, will you help me? Holy Spirit, will you help me? Will you help me to love God with all my heart? Will you help me to love God with all my soul, with all my mind? And see, what we're trying to do is we're trying to do it by might and by power. But there's things that are only going to be done by His Spirit. Does that make sense this morning? So quit trying to say, well, if I become a better version of me, I'll pull this thing off and I'll have a higher batting average. Well, I'm going to say no. Surrender to the person of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. He will give you the power. That's why one of the great verses of the Assemblies of God is Zechariah 4:6. It's not by might. It's not by power. But what? By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Too many people are trying to get it done by might, by power. But God's saying it's not by might or power, but it's by my Spirit. We need to be people of the Spirit. And don't be afraid of that. Some of you are like, whoa, I'm not sure about that. Well, we need to get sure about it. It's a person that wants to have a relationship with you. Amen? Is anybody scared yet? Second thing we need to do is pray. The prayer is, I heard this week, is what if you got up at the beginning of the day and just simply prayed this prayer, Lord, how can I love you better today? Just start your day with that prayer. Lord, how can I go about loving you better today? Is there something you want me to see? Is there something you want me to do? God, how can I love you better today? Maybe loving God better today would be kind to your neighbor, reaching out to somebody. Because I want to let you know we often love and serve God by loving and serving who? People. So maybe you start your day tomorrow with, God, how can I love you better today? Then the third one is this. Memorize the great commandment. Why not memorize it? It's simple. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. What if you memorize that? And throughout the day, we begin to quote that out loud to ourselves. What would that look like for you to put a 3x5 notebook card on your mirror at home on your dashboard that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you begin to quote that and you became aware of what God wants and you begin to say, yeah, Lord, that's what I want. Will you please help me to do that? Amen? Because that's the first step of, hey, let's get back to the basics. There's a lot of doctrine that we can teach in this church. There's a lot of good Bible doctrine. By the way, we as the Assembly of God, we have what we call 16 fundamental truths. But you know what? All that comes back down to let's keep it simple. Let's keep it simple. Let's get back to the basics. Let's be people that at the beginning of the day, we start out saying, God, help me. Help me to love you more today. Help me to love you better today. And help me to love my neighbor. Okay? So I want to conclude by showing the picture again. Vince Lombardi. And this is what I want to say to you folks. Let's keep it simple. This is the great commandment. This is the beginning place where we're going to win. We're going to be successful. The beginning place. Everybody listen, it sounds so simple, but let's win in loving God and loving people. loving God and loving people. And I'm going to just share my heart with you in closing this morning. The whole goal of this series is very simple. I don't know how long we're going to be here. And I pray that this series is more than just me speaking to you on Sunday morning. That I'm praying for me, I'm praying for you, that God will just begin to stir you up. Jenna, I want you to get stirred up. Rita, I want you to get stirred up. Travis, I want us to get stirred up. I want us to get stirred up individually, and I want us to get stirred up as a church, corporately. Is everybody hearing me? Say amen. And this is the thing I want us to get stirred up about. I think it's on the screen. Let's go to the last. Our goal in this series is to help you put your name there and us as a church, that we're going to get better at the two things Jesus said mattered most, and that is loving God, loving people. That's what we're all about for the next few months. That's all you're going to hear about for the next few months. If you don't like it, start to like it, okay? I was going to say don't come, but I sure would miss you. Can we read that together? I want you to read this in two frames of mind. I want you to read this for yourself, and I want you to read this for us as a church. Let's read it together. Our goal in this series is to help you and us as a church to get better at the two things Jesus said mattered most. Number one,
loving God.
Number two,
loving people.
I tell you what, if you really make that your goal, there's going to be some amazing things that begin to happen in your life. And I don't think you guys are convinced of it yet. Folks, this is a football. If we will get concerned about loving God and loving people, what would happen if you woke up at the beginning of the day saying, this is my goal? Yeah, I'm going to go work. I've got to work. It's a necessary evil called money. We need it to exist. But what if we woke up at the beginning of the day and said, Lord, I'm really going to get caught up in the two things that you say matter most. God, I'm going to get caught up in loving you. And God, I'm going to get caught up in loving people. And God, yeah, I'm going to go to work. Yeah, I'm going to carry out my responsibility. Yeah, I'm going to raise my kids. Yeah, I'm going to do all these other things. I'm going to go teach. I'm going to go coach. I'm going to go do whatever you do. But Lord, that's just gravy. The thing that matters most today, I'm going to wake up, God, and I'm going to live my life on a mission. And my mission is, this is what it's going to be, God. I want to love you more, and I'm going to love people. And that's my goal as the pastor of this church. That's my goal as your pastor, is I want to shake you up. I almost want to make you uncomfortable. Is anybody uncomfortable yet? Anybody has sweaty hands yet? And that's what I want us to be all about as a church. So we're going to spend, because that's what it's about at the end of the day. Can everybody stand to your feet real quick? Can everybody move out to the walls real quick? We haven't done this for a long time. Move out to the walls. We're going to make one big circle this morning. Let's let everybody fit in. Let's join hands. Can we pray together as a church family this morning? So let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the simplicity of your word. Even though people have come and tried to make things complicated, you came and you made them simple. When you reminded us that there's two things that matter most, and that is loving you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor, other people, as ourselves. And Father, I pray for this church on a May 14th, 2017. Lord, we begin a journey together. We begin a journey together. And Lord, I pray that we as a church will grow in this journey, that we'll gain momentum. And Lord, that you'll teach us, that you'll help us to love you more, to love you more. And Lord, that you'll teach us and you'll help us to grow to love others more. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with us in this journey. I pray that it will not be by might. I pray that it will not be by power, But I pray that it would be a journey that would be carried out by your Spirit, that the wind of your Spirit would blow over this church, and God, that will never be the same from this day forward. Lord Jesus, you are the head of the church, and you said in your word that I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And Jesus, we surrender to you. You are the head. We are your body. And we just want to line ourselves up with you. We're not Lord, you're Lord. And we want you to be in charge of this church, your body. And we also want to pray individually today that you'd be in charge of our lives, that you'll help each one of us. I know there's people in this room, they have their greatest desire is to want to love you with all their hearts. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, that you'll help us. Help us, Holy Spirit. And I just pray that you help us also to love that difficult person. Help us to love our neighbor. Help us to love the people that you have placed in our lives. And God, help us to get caught up in these two big things that we can only carry out by your power. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Let's pray together as a family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.